Grace and peace to you and God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our risen Savior Jesus Christ. Mark's Easter sermon goes something like this. Christ is risen, and he said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. All of the earliest versions of Mark's gospel end here. It's not a very satisfying ending, which is why our Bibles include the longer ending of Mark, which was added later by scribes and scholars who just couldn't end the story with silence and fear. If you look at it, it's almost a list of bullet points of all the things Jesus does in the other Gospels, and somebody kind of comes and adds them into Mark to make it sound right. But in our current context of anxiety and cynicism, maybe this feels like just about the right ending. They said nothing to anyone. Sounds about right. The best news in the history of the world, but they were afraid to share it. And who would have believed them anyway? Seminary professor Caroline Lewis wrote earlier this year, "Let's be honest. We know death. We know it all too well. Much, much harder for us to imagine is the truth of the resurrection and the comfort of the ascension. So much of the world around us seems caught up in violence and death, in sickness and loss. We are used to this. We know it in our bones. Death and fear and grief are to be expected in this life. But resurrection? What does that look like?" Here's the thing. Mark knows that the women didn't stay silent because Mark heard the story, and he was part of a whole community that knew the story. Mark tells us right at the beginning of his gospel that the story he is telling is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that beginning of the good news ends at the empty tomb. It ends with a command from Jesus delivered by an angelic messenger. "Go, tell his disciples that he is going ahead of you to Galilee." Jesus told them that when they shared their last supper together, that when it was all over, he would meet them in Galilee. But how can he keep that promise now that he's dead? Yet the angelic messenger repeats the promise. He will be there in Galilee to meet you. Mark leaves the rest of the story open. Are the women going to share the good news? Will disciples see Jesus? What happens next? Episcopal priest Barbara Cawthorn Crafton offers an imaginative account of how the story continues and what it means for us. She writes, "Late at night, a few years after the events recounted in the Passion narratives, a fire flickers shadows across the faces of the people assembled to hear the story from a traveler who heard it from someone who heard it from someone else. His story ends just this way." "And what happens next?" someone asks. "Well, I don't know. All I know is what I heard, that they went to his tomb and he wasn't there. And an angel appeared to them, and they got scared and ran away. That's all I know." A tale told by the light of a campfire. One of those mystery tales campfires seem to generate, a ghost story. Nobody back then thought that they were writing the Bible. They were telling stories about a mystery. One person told the tale to another and another and another. There was embroidery upon it, as we know. The bare bones of the one we have from Mark was not the last word on the resurrection, but it was one of the first. "We walk through the events of Jesus' last days," Crafton continues, "with sorrow and horror, but also with some understanding. We know death. We have seen death. But we hang back from the resurrection because we do not understand it. Still, we struggle to tell the tale uninformed as we are. The very telling has become important to us. More important than a ghost story, for no ghost story has ever changed our lives. This story has. The resurrection is unknowable in the way that we like to know things. The journalistic who, what, when, where, how that we grandchildren of the Enlightenment think makes it true. The writer of Mark was different. He was willing to have his life changed before he understood fully what was changing it. Actually, this is the only way life ever really changes. You won't understand marriage until you've been hitched for a while. Maybe not even then. You're not going to know what it's like to have a baby until you have one. You don't even know your profession until you've been in it for a while. Nothing in life is obvious immediately. It all grows on us. So this is how we must approach resurrection as well. No, we don't understand it. Let it grow on us. The women came to the tomb that morning, expecting to find death, expecting to share their sorrow in a final act of love, preparing the body of their beloved teacher for his final rest. Instead, they are met with overwhelming news. Jesus is not here. He has been raised from the dead. The beginning of the good news of Jesus ends with his physical resurrection and his promise. He has gone before you, as he always has, as he always will. The women fled in terror and amazement, and they said nothing to anyone until the words of the angelic messenger took root in their hearts. Do not be afraid. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. And then hope began to grow. A glimmer of new life, faintly seen in an unknown future. An expectation of joy after the long night of sorrow. And what about us? Are we able to let go of fear and anxiety and let the truth of resurrection settle deeply in our bones? Are we going to open our eyes to new life and hope? Are we going to let this promise of resurrection grow on us so that this one amazing story can change our lives as well? That is the invitation of Easter, to let this truth of resurrection from the dead take hold of our lives, enlighten our eyes, open our hearts, and fill us with the mystery of new life and unending hope. To live as God's Easter people is to believe that wherever we go in this world or the next, Jesus has gone before us and waits to meet us there. In the beauty of a sunrise over the mountains, in the devastation left by fire or flood, in the faces of the ones we love, in the faces of strangers we meet, in the faces of all who suffer, in the grief of losing one who is beloved, and finally, on our journey from this life to the next, Jesus has gone before us. Jesus is waiting to meet us with new, whole, resurrection life. Alleluia! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed! Alleluia!
Thanks be to God.